Well, good morning, Sower Nation, and friends of Jesus, and friends of mine. I sense we got some new friends that are joining our party every day, our meeting with Jesus called the Wake Up Call. I call it Sower Nation because, friends, we're sowing for a great awakening, because we know that's what it's going to take to turn the tide in this world. We know human ingenuity is not going to get it done. Human power never, no, would have happened by now. This is something only Jesus can do, and he is doing it. And it's just a matter of getting more seed in more fields. So that's what we're about. It's a new week. Y'all, we just crossed over the halfway point of the first gospel. We're on this 89-day trek to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John together, a chapter a day. Today we come to chapter 15, 15th day of September. And I should say it is September the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your Wake Up Call. Maybe a little bit long preface today. Thanks for bearing with me. Let's enter into consecration today and this week. Wake up, sleepers. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, That Time Jesus Lifted Up a Broken Mom. Our text is Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 to 31. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet. And he healed them, so that the crowd wondered. When they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. I got a picture last week of what we're up to on this gospeling journey. We're riding together in a hot air balloon, slowly and peacefully drifting over the countryside of the Gospels. We've got a bird's eye view of all the goings on below. And from time to time, we land back on the ground, get out, and walk around a particular scene or situation for an up-close look. It's a marvelous way of reading Scripture together, isn't it? We are flying over new country today. It's called, quote, the region of Tyre and Sidon, also known as Gentile country. So what does that mean, Gentile country? Well, in those days, as in these, there were only two kinds of people, Jews and Gentiles. While there is enormous complexity and nuance around this, I think I can cut to the chase and bring great clarity and simplicity for our purposes. My translation of Jews and Gentiles is insiders and outsiders. Now let's get it down on the ground now. There are only two groups of people us and them. And Jesus isn't having it. And did you feel that big bump? That was our hot air balloon basket touching down on the ground. We're going in for a closer look. And we're going to look a little bit back from the text we started with, the context, Matthew 15, verses 22 to 28. I'll be in the NIV on this one. My favorite translation. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." This is the mom. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." Wow. He ignored her. The absurdity of this scene tells me Jesus is up to something. I mean, he paid attention to the Roman centurion's needs a few days back. It's just not Jesus to totally ignore anyone. He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Wow. He rejected her. It's clear to me now, Jesus is putting on a show for his disciples. He's towing the party line, playing to the base. He's holding up a mirror for them. Because it's just not Jesus to totally reject anyone. The woman came and knelt before him. Feels like a behold moment, doesn't it? Like that leper, she's kneeling, this mom. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." He insulted her. She is on her knees, begging. "This is your little girl we're talking about." By now, his disciples are waking up to the absurdity of their deeply held convictions. It's just not Jesus to insult anyone. "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And now, this beautiful, suffering, compassionate mom puts on the dress. Yes, she puts on this hideous dress woven by absurdity and indignity and insult. And Jesus turns it inside out, causing shame to bow down to glory as she wears this tattered garment like a Versace gown. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. This is brilliance. Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. There's a bigger healing here. The us and the them begin to become we. So much for only going to the lost sheep of Israel, right? Now read the text today that we read at the beginning, which comes on the very heels of this encounter. Here's the headline: mass healings in Gentile country. Okay, there is one more thing. There's a little word with a big punch tucked into the text. It's pronounced in Greek, thaumazo, thaumadzo. It means wonderment or marveling or astonishment or amazement. And you're going to love our hymn today. And my special guest who is going to help me sing it with all we've got today. That's coming in just a minute. And I want you to watch the YouTube on this one if you can. But before that, let's just pray, right? The revelation we've just walked through leads to this kind of response. This is how transformation happens. Revelation, response. Lord Jesus, we stand amazed in your presence. You are the definition of astonishing and amazing and marvelous. We are undone by your unbounded compassion and limitless mercy. Crush the dividing walls in between us and them. Lead us into your eternal we. We pray in your name. Amen. Our journal prompts today. So who represents the them in your life? Who are the outsiders you steer clear of and frankly don't want to be associated with? What might Jesus be identifying as absurd about your present convictions? What might he be exposing as a charade in your way of seeing things? Are you tracking with me today? I hope so. I've never understood this text until this time around, and maybe I'm wrong, okay? Maybe I'm wrong. But to me, this is how you make sense of, like, Jesus insulting and ignoring he's not treating her like Jesus treats people. And I really believe he's actually just stepping out of his character and stepping into the character of his disciples who are like, get her out of here. No, she's got to go. We don't sit with these people. We don't deal with them. You know, that's just how it was. That's just how it was, okay? They had just inherited the tradition, the ways, the means of their forebears. And I think Jesus, sometimes you're so stuck in a picture that you can't see it anymore. And it takes Jesus to come along and almost sort of come in that picture with you and show you just how ridiculous what you're doing is. That's what's happening in this text, I'm convinced. And Jesus, all the while, he sees this mom, this little, she's not a weak, poor little woman. No, sir. She's bold. She first off crosses the line and just comes up there. I mean, she's carrying her little girl who's sick, who's demon-possessed, who they've tried everything. Nothing's worked. And he's like, she comes to Jesus. That's a mom right there. There's so many of them listening right here. And she's just persistent, and she's coming, and she's like, she goes to her knees. He ignores her. He's not listening. Again, that's not Jesus playing Jesus. That's Jesus stepping into the absurd frame of his disciples and us, okay? Can we just call it us? I just hope this awakens the kind of othering dynamics that are in all of us. It's doing it in me. It's just not Jesus. I like that. That'd be a good word for us to carry forward. But, you know, that's just not Jesus. But what Jesus does, he's like, you, mom, you, that faith, that's what I'm looking for. And it kind of indicts everybody else around, especially those disciples who are like, get her out of here. Jesus is like, you, this is why I came. Yes, the lost sheep of Israel, but the whole Gentile world. It's everybody all the time. Okay, gang, are you ready? Are you ready to sing? Now, I do want to point out to you in the email today, I always put lots of good stuff in there. If you're watching this on YouTube, you need to go to seedbed.com/wakeupcall and just sign up. You need to get this email. I'm trying to get people on our field team. I'm looking for pastors to join our pastors fellowship. We're sowing for a great awakening. That's what we're doing. And we're going to go the long game. We're playing the long game, right? We're playing the small game, a seed, right? I got seeds always. We're playing the small game, but we're playing the long game. And that's how you win the big game. That's how God wins the big game. Okay, guys, my friend Chris Tomlin, we're sitting down today and we're singing the hymn, I Stand Amazed in the Presence. It's number 122. So get ready. This is going to be fun. The Gospels. You know, if there's a song that you could sing every day as you read the Gospels, there's a bunch of them. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of great Jesus hymns. Fairest Lord Jesus, my Jesus, I love thee. There's something about that name. I mean, they're just, we never get tired of singing about Jesus, do we?
No.
But there's a great hymn, and you've did it many years ago. It's I Stand Amazed.
I love this hymn.
In the Presence.
Yeah. Just that opening line, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Wonder how he could love me, sinner, condemned, unclean.
I mean, I think it may be time for you to get this one back out.
Yeah, this is so good.
But we're going to sing it today. It's like every day that we're reading, you know, chapter 1, Matthew, chapter 2, Matthew. We have come to worship him.
Yes.
Every chapter of every gospel is an opportunity to sing this. I stand amazed.
Yeah. And can I say this? It's number 122 in our great Redeemer's praise. I've always wanted to say that, give the hymn number and say in our hymn book, our great Redeemer's praise.
Our hymn book. Did you guys hear that?
Number 122.
This is Main Street Baptist claiming our hymn book. I stand amazed. This is a moment wake-up call. Okay? Fireworks just went off in the heavens.
So good.
Okay, well, I'm going to pitch this because I got perfect pitch. Okay? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean.
Verse 3 with me. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone.
Singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Four together. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Now, we've got some people here with us that can't be seen on camera, but we, you know, it's just like leaving people out of communion. We got to sing another chorus of that song. We're going to invite everybody to join us. Are you ready?
Come on.
How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Amen. Thank you, choir.